My friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. I'm Kevin Swanson, a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains, Colorado. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy in studio with us today. As we call for another awakening, another revival, America needs, of course, a turning back to God, a revival. We've talked about this before. There's no sense in talking about politics in this nation. There's no sense in arguing for a social or cultural change if the hearts of the people haven't changed. And we've talked about this many, many, many times. Without an awakening, there's just no sense in fighting for any kind of political change. Now, of course, political change in the right direction towards righteousness and towards liberty will come about when the people have gone through a great awakening. And we've seen this in the history of this country. However, here's an excellent article from Christian Post entitled U.S. Western Europe Missing Out on a Fifth Great Awakening. And indeed, America is missing the great awakening going on right now around the world. America, sadly, is exempted from. What a heartbreaker. What a heartbreaker, Bill. It's hard to miss out on something really good. Remember when I was 4 years old, 3 years old, as first memory I had, I missed out on a birthday party because I was afraid of the dog that was apparently attending the party. So my mother took me home. It's, you know, just a traumatic thing. I'm still emotionally scarred, and I'm barely over it.
I just have three words for you. Three words. Counseling. Okay.
That's three words.
Yeah, three words.
Okay.
I thought it might help.
Yeah, okay. But you're missing out is hard. And this is a heartbreaker that we are missing out on this. I'm heading out to Africa in just a few weeks to catch a piece of what God's doing in other countries around the world. I think it'll be good for my soul to be somewhere else. America, we're just hard slogging through a period of time in which there is such coldness, such deadness across America. People aren't waking up. People aren't repenting. People aren't shifting direction. There's not much of a reformation going on in education, in politics, in family life. There is not the on fire people who are turning towards God with a passion, and they're turning towards his word with a love for it and a desire to rearrange the whole way they do all of their cultural institutions, their social institutions, their educational institutions. And this isn't happening. It's just not happening, my friends. On the face of it, the coldness, the deadness, the lack of love, the lack of faith, the lack of willingness to be persecuted for righteousness' sake, the pride, the fake conversions, the shallow, skin-deep, emotional faith lookalikes, the lack of real-life change, the very, very, very insignificant impact the Christians have on the culture anywhere. The best we're getting these days, laughing revivals and circus sideshows, but we're just not getting a great awakening where there are fundamental changes going on, and the Christian church is set against the world in stark contrast. And this, my friends, is what we need to see. And I think we need to pray. We need to pray for revival. Pray for revival. We're praying for revival constantly in our church these days. And I know other churches in our area praying for revival as well. I get together with other pastors in the area to pray for revival. We need a passion for revival. We need to see the need for revival. If nobody sees the need for revival, of course, there will be none. So let's call out for something of awakening. But here's back to this article. Jim Dennison is a cultural commentator and the founder of the Dennison Forum. He spoke to the 2018 International Forum, hosted by the Council of Christian Colleges and Universities in Grapevine, Texas, just a few months ago. And the article from Christian Post starts out, Western civilization is missing out on the next great awakening happening in the world today because many Americans and Western Europeans are treating God as a hobby rather than a king.
Jesus is just all right with me. Jesus is just all right. Oh, yeah.
That's pretty much it. I think that's the summary, Bill. He says, our culture, this is Dennison, speaking to the Christian college administrators in Grapevine, Texas. Dennison says, our culture has separated Sunday from Monday and spiritual from secular and religion from the real world.
He's echoing what Francis Schaeffer said years and years ago.
Oh, boy.
And that is the sacred secular dichotomy.
It's killing us, Bill.
Yeah.
It's killing us.
It's not killing us. It has killed us for the most part.
It's killed us. And all of our educational institutions practically have been doing this since Aquinas separated secular knowledge from sacred knowledge. So keep that in mind, that it comes back to Aquinas saying, hey, the philosophical knowledge, the spiritual knowledge, different in kind. And we have hammered on this for the last 14 years of this ministry. That is, all education is now secular. And occasionally Christians will put a little post-it note biblical verse somewhere, but it's all based in secular knowledge versus sacred knowledge. And I think the beginning of a reformation will happen when we finally destroy, decimate, take apart the Monday-Sunday distinction, the secular-sacred distinction. And when it happens in education, when we finally get more of a distinctively Christian curriculum from kindergarten through college, we can't be indoctrinating our kids in secular learning in kindergarten, high school, and college, where knowledge is all secular knowledge built up on human reason. We just can't do that. We have to bring 500, 800 verses into an American history textbook, which I'm doing right now as part of our Christian curriculum project. We are incorporating the biblical truths and biblical verses into every aspect of a children's education like a frontlet between their eyes, so that everywhere they go, they run into the Word of God on almost every page of their history textbook, on almost every page of their science textbook, on almost every page of their math textbook. They're constantly running into biblical verses that have direct tie-in to what they're studying. Friends, we have to establish God's truth as the basis for every single aspect of our children's education. And if you're not going to bring the sacred back into, quote-unquote, the secular, if you are too ashamed to bring the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge into the geography class, the history class, the science class, the math class, friends, you're not serving Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're not treating him as the absolute truth, the way. You're not treating Christ as the living Word, and you're not serious about him. You're just not serious about Jesus.
Just compartmentalizing your life.
That's right. You're putting Jesus into a little sacred box and leaving him there. We're going to talk more about Jim Dennison's comments to the Council of Christian Colleges and Universities in just a moment. Stay tuned. It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith. And it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson, and I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case, a historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent, the American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain? How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org. We are back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. Bill Jack, also in studio right now, as we celebrate the greatest awakening, perhaps, in the history of the Christian church, going on right now around the world. Not in this country, but around the world. Thankfully, God's doing something. The Spirit of God is alive and well. He's blowing hard upon the hearts of men and women around the world. And according to this, 82,000 people coming to Christ every single day, 82,000. Imagine, you know, the city of Grand Junction coming to Jesus, a city the size of Grand Junction, Colorado, or the size of Fort Collins, Colorado, coming to Jesus every day, Bill. Every single day, 82,000 people converted to Christ every day.
That is exciting. The sad thing is, only 6,000 of those are where?
Europe and America. That is, we're missing out. Now, and most of those are just immigrants in London, New York, and Chicago. I'm sorry, friends. We're missing out. Yes, the old corrupted old line Protestant, old line Roman Catholic Western Church is dying. It's dying. And I guess almost everybody's A-OK with it within the church. Now, hopefully there'll be somebody out there who'll say, you know, I have a passion to see a return of the Holy Spirit of God to work in the hearts of men and women in my church. I would love to see the deadness turn to life, the coldness turn to 98.6 degrees. I would love to see the blindness turn to sight and the deaf to start to hear and the lame to dance in the worship of God. I would love to see something of this old decrepit Western Christianity coming to life one more time as it did in the 1740s with the Great Awakening under George Whitefield, John Wesley, and others. Wouldn't that be great, Bill?
Yeah, it'd be excellent.
I mean, wow. I'm praying for this. Until I die, I'm praying for this. Denison spoke to the group of Christian colleges, the administrators of all these Christian colleges, just a few months ago. And this cultural commentator, this Christian cultural commentator, has some very important things to say. He says, reason above all, culture and spiritually, why our culture, why Western civilization is not joining this spiritual awakening, is that our culture, in our culture, God is not a king. He is a hobby. He is a hobby. As far as the biblical meta-narrative goes, Denison suggests a few biblical passages that should indicate what the biblical meta-narrative really is. He says it's this, Psalm 47:2, how awesome is the Lord, most high, the great king over all the earth. And Zechariah 14, the Lord will be king over the whole earth. He says that's our meta-narrative. That's the point. That's the grand point of the Christian faith, is that Jesus is king. He is Lord of lords, King of kings, on the throne, raised from the dead on the right hand of the Father, and he rules until his enemies are under his footstool, to which I say amen. Denison suggested that people who are truly making God their king are joining the Fifth Great Awakening. Western culture says truth is personal, individual, it's subjective, and the Bible is a diary of religious experience, and you have no right to force your beliefs on me. If church is your hobby on Sunday, that's fine. If golf is my hobby, that's fine. And you have no right to force your positions. 92% of Americans say they are their own soul and determine their own truth. That is our culture. I think he nailed it.
Yeah. Just last week, I was guest directing for Teen Pact again, and they do leadership training for students in government, political process from a biblical worldview, and they do it at state capitals around the country. So occasionally I get to guest direct. You've done that too.
Oh, yeah.
But we had a guest speaker, a Democratic senator. She came in. She was a 25-year veteran of the public school. She was 16 years in the state legislature, and she started by talking about how she loved Jesus and how she had a relationship, personal relationship with Jesus, and how her son's in a Christian ministry, and talked about her grandkids. And then the first question was, your favorite question, Kevin.
You fear God.
Do you fear God?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that set the tone. That set the tone. That set the tone.
Was the fear of God the beginning of knowledge in her political experience?
No. And then the program director, he and I are sitting in the back of the room. We're saying, okay, what's the last question we want to leave this with? And we figured it out. And he stood up and he said, how do you square your belief in Jesus with your party's platform on homosexuality and abortion? And the sweet grandmother mask came off.
Yeah, and the demonic face came on.
And the demonic face underneath showed itself through. And those students, they got a good look at the face of evil.
Yeah.
And I told them that. And they understood. Those students understood that was the face of evil. It doesn't come at you. It doesn't come at you with horns and a pitchfork.
Mm-hmm.
It comes at you like a grandmama.
Yeah.
And that is the problem. And we have separated the sacred from the secular.
Yeah.
We have made this divide, this two-story building.
Yeah.
And when you do that, then you give up territory.
Well, Jesus is some kind of a savior, but he's not king. He's not Lord.
No.
He doesn't bring the law to us.
We don't keep
his commandments.
Personal relationship with him, but it doesn't affect how you do your economics or do your public policy.
And there's so many Jesuses out there.
Yeah.
You know, there's the Jesus drug lord down in Mexico.
Yeah.
It makes you feel good.
Yeah.
But he's not Lord.
No.
He's not king. He's not the Son of God. the star of righteousness, the one who sanctifies us, forgives us our iniquities, and cleanses us from all of our transgressions of God's holy law. That is not the Jesus of a lot of Americans.
And that's why we're missing out on the fifth great awakening.
And I think there are some evangelical churches out there who do not acknowledge the true Christ.
Right. Well, I saw that at the state capitol when we had several pastors testifying in favor of homosexuality, in favor of transgenderism.
And they'll call themselves evangelicals. Mm-hmm. And friends, they're not believing in the right Christ. There are many Christs. There are many Jesuses. But if you're not receiving Christ in his word, if you're not receiving his law, every jot and tittle of the Old Testament law, which he came to fulfill, if you're not receiving Christ as King, as Lord, as Savior, as prophet, priest, and King, all of it, you've got the wrong Jesus. Got the wrong Jesus. And this is Dennison again. He says, you have to decide that Jesus is on the throne, and he is King of my university, and he's King of my heart, and he's King of my prayer, and he's King of my relationships, and he's King of me. If he's not King of all of me, he is not King of any of me. That's really good. That's really, really good. I think he's right. I think Jesus has got to be Savior and King, but he's got to be this powerful Savior King. In fact, the word Jesus comes from the word Yeshua from the Old Testament, and that is the military commander who always wins his battles. That's what that means. We lose the military concept of the sweet little precious hands Jesus approach.
Yeah, gentle Jesus, meek and mild.
We lose the sense that his name is military commander who wins all of his battles over sin, death, and hell, and the devil. Jesus wins. He rides into the castle having slain his enemies, and now he's demanding fealty and love and obedience to his commands. That faith is very foreign to the modern evangelical mind, Bill. That faith.
It's because we've not heeded the warning of Galatians 1:8, and that is, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. We're preaching a different gospel. We're preaching a different Jesus in our culture today.
Yeah.
And that Jesus is this privatized Jesus. It's not a Jesus who is King.
Mm-hmm. And he's plastic Jesus. He's molded into whatever we want him to be.
Now, does that mean that we're perfect people? If we say no, it means that we are constantly being molded ourselves into the image of Christ.
That's
but
right.
It is not the
That's
plastic
right.
Jesus on your dashboard.
That's right. And we must bring everything to his feet. I mean, we should be committed to bringing everything to his feet. Jesus must be Lord of all, or he is Lord of nothing. And that is the point Dennison made. We bring our education to his feet. We bring our politics to his feet. We bring our work to his feet. We submit to his law at every point in every area of life. That's the commitment of the Christian. Now, we don't do it perfectly, but there is a process by which we are continually bringing more of ourselves to his feet, and we're acknowledging him to be the Lord of all. Now, let's talk about a great awakening. I would love to see something of a great awakening across this country, Bill. And now the Bible basically talks about awakening, but the apostles always direct the idea of an awakening to the church, not to the unsaved, but to the church,
right.
Those who are within the walls of the church. If you think about Romans 13 and do this knowing the time that now it's high time to awake out of sleep. He's talking to the Roman Christians here. He says, guys, it's high time to awake out of sleep. For now, our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness or lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Or Ephesians 5:14, wherefore he says, awake, thou that sleeps, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Matthew 24:42, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord shall come. Also, if you think of Luke 22 and verse 34, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with serving and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that the day comes upon you unawares. So we see this watchfulness, this awakening that needs to happen. I think, Bill, this awakening is an awakening to the deeper spiritual realities, the value of the human soul. The average person doesn't consider the value of the human soul. They just don't. I was sitting next to a young man on a flight into, I think it was Virginia, a couple of months ago. And I got to thinking, I was sort of sharing the faith and getting into some apologetics with this guy. He was pretty bright. And then the conversation cut off at the point when I said, you know, are you afraid to die? And we got into some conversations about the afterlife and such. Okay. So I kind of broke into the conversation. And I got to thinking, as I was praying for him, do I really care for this man's soul? This man has an eternal soul right here, right now. And do I have enough care for him that I would be willing to give up something for this man's soul? Would I be willing to submit myself to some level of persecution in order to convey the gospel to this man?
Wow.
And I think that what happens with many Christians is they just don't understand the value of the human soul. They don't understand the eternality of hell or the power of Christ's redemption. They're just, when we get an awakening to these things, we begin to fear God. We begin to realize these things are real. And we wake to the intensity of the truth of it. And that constitutes something of an awakening. This watching and being sober is watching for the sinful behavior, the sinful thoughts that creep into us. We become more watchful for the devil who comes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And we become sensitive to spiritual realities that, yes, we are in the midst of intense demonic warfare. Even as when you're down testifying at this committee with the forces of darkness surrounding you, you were sensitive to that, Bill. You knew you were in the very, very depths of spiritual conflict at this point. Principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this age, were set against you. Now, this is what awakening is about. We begin to awaken to the serious spiritual realities that Jesus shares with us in his word, and that is the value of the human soul, the eternality of hell, the power of the redemption of Jesus setting the captives free. We begin to put on the armor of light. We're cloaked in God's truth. This is what happens when people awaken. Now, they begin to lean forward and listen to the preaching of the Word of God. This isn't just some hypothetical message. This is something that's going to equip me for the battle for the next week because I'm going into spiritual warfare. And then people start showing up at the prayer meetings because they realize that they are in serious battle and people are rolling hand grenades their direction constantly. That is, the spiritual forces are going at them big time unless they pay attention during the encouraging, equipping moments at which we come into the Word of God and we're equipping ourselves with a preaching of the Word of God on a Sunday morning, or we're praying to God to equip us and to strengthen us in the day of battle. People begin to understand the import of the prayer meetings in the church. Instead of 32 people showing up, you begin to see 287 people crowding into the prayer meeting on a Wednesday night. And by the way, most prayer meetings aren't even happening in American churches these days. That was an old, formalistic, dead and dying and useless thing that people used to participate in. But no. When you have a great awakening, you begin to see entire churches completely filled with people praying to God on a Wednesday night because they can't avoid it. They realize that they are surrounded with the most intense spiritual realities they didn't realize earlier on. And now they see the need for prayer. Now they see the need for the preaching of the Word of God. Now they see the need for the reading and the equipping of themselves in the Word of God. Friends, we need an awakening across this country. There is something horrifying about the present condition of the church in America. And if you're not horrified, then you're part of the problem. It's just that simple. The American church is asleep, it's dying, and it's dead. It's Sardis, it's Laodicea, it's Ephesus. It's got all the problems we find in Revelation 2 and 3. The church in America is in the most horrifying condition you could ever imagine. If your eyes would just open up, if you would awaken to that fact, that would be the beginning of an awakening in America today. Is there even a desire to wake up? Now, I'm talking to you, Christians, professing Christians across this country, pastors, elders, fathers, mothers, families. Is there a desire to wake up? Is there a sense that you need to wake up? That is the first and most important step towards an awakening right now. So pray for an awakening. Let me pray. Father, we pray that you would have mercy upon the church in this country. God, we are missing out on the awakening going on around the world. And we are struck. We are horrified. We are broken by the weakness of the church in America today. It's asleep. It's dead. It's dying. It's Sardis. It's Ephesus. It's lost its first love. It's lukewarm. It's ready to be spewed out of your mouth. So God, we pray by your Holy Spirit's work and by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, you cleanse us from our sins. You awaken us. You convict us. You help us to realize the condition that we're in, and help us, oh God, to realize the beauty of the mercy of God in Jesus Christ, the value of the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sins. God, open our eyes, waken us to these realities, pack out the prayer meetings in every church in America where there are no prayer meetings. Please, we pray, oh God, they would introduce these times of prayer, interposition before the courts of Almighty God in churches across this country, Lord, that there be an awakening in this country by your Holy Spirit's work. Have mercy, have mercy, have mercy. We pray, oh God, in Jesus' name, amen. And that ends this edition of the Generations broadcast. If you'd like to interact with the program, just please email me at host@kevinswanson.com. You can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com or generations.org. Get your friends and family members tuning into our programs at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.